following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mike Peterson of KMA Radio in Shenandoah and Rick Patrie of the Eldora Herald-Ledger. The first question will come from KMA's Mike.
Senator, you spoke on the Senate floor regarding the shortcomings of the Iran deal negotiated by the Obama administration, the Iran nuclear deal. What are your major objections toward this deal?
Yeah. First of all, Mike, I want to thank you and KMA for being on here with me, because if you go back 15 years to 30 years, once a week I already spoke to KMA, so thank you. I listed it in three different categories. One, people expect you to read everything that the law allows you to get on, and we promise, and people expect you to read before you vote something. Well, I can read the agreement, but there's some side agreements that we have not been given, and we're told that we can't have access to them. So that's a violation of the very special law we passed in May, saying that all this material should be available to us. Secondly, the president knew that Iran was being hurt by our sanctions. Iran asked for negotiations. They wanted to get out from under them. The president said at that time that we would have a nuclear-free Iran. When this, the president ended up giving everything away, and consequently, we're going to have Iran in 10 years, if they cheat, it'll be sooner, a nuclear threshold state. The last thing is that we were told we'd be able to inspect anytime, anywhere. Well, first of all, the United States won't be doing any inspection. It'll be the International Atomic Energy Agency out of Vienna, and they won't be able to go anyplace anytime. They've already been told of some places they can't go. So I think it's a very bad agreement, and it's going to make the world less safe, and it's going to make all the Middle East nuclearized, because countries like Saudi Arabia and Jordan and the Emirates are going to expect to have nuclear defense against Iran, who is a typical enemy of theirs. Rick?
Senator, kind of on the same question. A few months ago, you heard a lot more in the news about possible military action over there. It seems like you hear less of that. Are we talking about a return to stricter sanctions as an option, or what are opponents looking at?
That's another thing to say to be against it, and that is that the sanctions are going to go off, and it's going to free up about $100 billion of frozen assets of Iran so that they can finance more terrorism. And that terrorism isn't limited just to the Middle East, because you know that some of that money is directed towards killing of Americans, as you hear that almost every day. And so consequently, it's just a bad deal. Military action, if your question comes from the standpoint that the president said it's this or war, that's an intellectually dishonest argument. There are other options, and I guess it'd be the reimposition of sanctions. Some people say, well, that's not going to happen because we got six other countries. Six countries are totally involved in the sanctions. That's true. But the United States is an economic force around the world. And if we restricted banks around the world that probably every one of them does business in America, to restrict them from using the American banking system, if those businesses in those countries that want to do business with Iran are dealing with those banks, those banks are going to shut them down pretty fast, because no bank around the world can afford to not do business through America to some extent.
Senator, right now there is a huge humanitarian crisis in Europe with the exodus of the Syrian refugees into other European countries. What should the United States' role and response be towards this crisis right now?
Well, just had a meeting yesterday with Secretary Kerry, because once a year he has to consult with us on increasing the number, or whatever the number set at. And it was 70,000 for last year. Not so many from the migrants that you're seeing on television now, but from other countries. And it'll probably be shifted around. The number will be increased from 70 to 75,000. But he also left a hint that that it would be dramatically increased, which I don't like at this point. I think we're going to be on a basis that we have been, at least since World War II, welcoming to refugees, but it's got to be very limited. And then the rest of the world has to realize that the United States takes more legal immigrants every year than all the rest of the world put together. So from that standpoint, you know, the United States is a welcoming nation. Maybe not refugees, but we take a lot of people into our country that want to come here legally. And then, of course, we take a lot of undocumented people as well. And, of course, they're violating our law, but they still, we're still absorbing, not meant to absorb them permanently, because people that break our law can't be justified. At least they can't be justified until we've secured the border.
Senator, I don't follow politics too much, so I might have missed it in the past, but is the current run-up to the Republican nomination, is what you're witnessing this year kind of something really, really out of the ordinary, or just a general comment on it?
Yeah, you can quantify that. I don't know that we've ever had 17 candidates for president before in the Republican Party and 5 in the Democratic Party. That's 23. If we have, they've never been as prominent as these 23 are. So it is different. And it's going to shake out someday. We're going to get down to one Republican. I hope it's earlier than later. But right now, if you ask me, I couldn't predict who that person is going to be. I don't even have my own mind made up who's the best one. But I do have some confidence in the system of the caucuses and the other primaries to have the cream flow to the top. And sometimes, you know, in the case of Romney, I thought that was true, but it didn't work out to be that way.
Senator, when we talked in Clarinda a few weeks ago, we talked about the farm economy and how that's doing. And it's been several months since the avian flu impacted Iowa's poultry industry. How would you describe the recovery from the virus at this point?
Oh, it's going to be a long time until there's recovery in the way of being back to the square one. Maybe not for turkeys. It'll be a little faster for turkeys, but for egg-laying chickens, I'll bet it'll be a year and a half, 2 years before you get all the houses repopulated. In the meantime, there's been several figures that I don't have exactly in my mind to tell you, but over $1 billion cost to the economy and 8,000 jobs lost.
Something a little closer to home right here. In the last few weeks, I've received a few things from your office in regard to wind energy. And here in Hardin County, there's a real presence of it all around the county. I just wondered if you've got kind of an assessment of what it's been a lot of growth in 10 years. What do you expect in the next 10 years?
More growth, especially if the wind energy industry becomes competitive with coal and natural gas, there'll be big expansion. There's going to continue to be expansion for the next couple years as we renew the wind energy tax credit, which will be coming up probably next month, along with 51 other, maybe 52 other tax provisions that have expired. And I think we're at a point where we could say that within 4 years, wind energy production tax credit could be done away with, because it'll be a mature industry. And from that standpoint, that's what I'm advocating, and I think we have most of the people in the Wind Energy Association also advocating that. Thank you, Mike and Rick, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley, reporting to the people of Iowa.